This is KFIZ Radio and First Presbyterian Church in Fond du Lac. We are glad to join together in this time of prayer and devotion.
Hear these words of the gospel from this week's lectionary reading. The parable of the lost sheep. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable, which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. The parable of the lost coin. Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a candle, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The word of the Lord. Gracious and wise God, you are the one with the message this day. Let me be your holy vessel indeed and anoint Mary, the preacher of the day, that she may speak your words and that the Holy Spirit may fire in us a desire to live as your servant people. In the name of Jesus, amen. In my second year of seminary, I was appointed to a student pastor assignment in a large historic church in Washington, D.C. It was an inner city church located in an area downtown. It had changed a great deal, so there were not as many residential homes. The congregation members and leadership struggled with whether to sell that current building and the property surrounding it and locate to an area where it was very evident growth was happening in the surrounding communities. A large corporation was offering them a great deal of money for their site. It was prime real estate. The money would enable the congregation to move not only to another part of the community where they would find many more people to serve hands-on and offer the spiritual food of life. The corporation was offering them the opportunity to experience a vision beyond what had been their glorious past. Even though this was exciting to some in the congregation, other members were resistant to the idea. And First Presbyterian, I know you can identify with this. They pointed out that the church was the guardian of a building whose history and architecture reached back into the early part of the 19th century. The building was overnight shelter for groups of people who gathered at the Lincoln Memorial that August day in 1963, when Martin Luther King Jr. voiced that iconic "I Have a Dream" speech. It housed cots, tons of cots, as they were set up to host some of the overnight participants in the city for the Poor People's Campaign. Denominational history had been made there, and some of the grand figures of the church had passed through its portals. Eventually, the congregation decided to brave up, move from the current site, and make a new home out of a new building in a well-populated neighborhood. The lead pastor who was with the congregation through all this upheaval said, "We must decide whether we want to be in a museum or in mission." They couldn't have it both ways, he said at the time. It meant either staying on their site, glorying in their great past and history, serving a few people, or making adjustments, or living up to some aspects of their past and gearing themselves up to the ministry of God in new ways, even among people and families they did not yet know. They opted for mission status over museum status. Full of enthusiasm, they shared their plans with the wider congregation, only to get a mixed reaction, and that's understandable. Many of the members were like a postman I knew, who wouldn't deliver the mail until the bag was absolutely full. He didn't know my friend Bonnie, who expects her mail at the same hour every day. "Before we go after new members," they said, "we should try to win back members already on our roll." Some said, "I like the church the way it is." Others said, someone summed it up best. "Who wants strangers in our church? We should just stick to our own." Something of this same struggle is indicated in today's gospel passage. Go back with me more than 2,000 years. Jesus is enjoying a meal with some tax collectors and some other people we might call unchurched. The disciple Matthew had been a tax collector before following Jesus. Maybe these were some of his friends. Jesus enjoyed being with people, even people on the fringes of society. Some Pharisees were close by. They saw Jesus eating with whom they declared to be the uncommon and those considered true sinners. The Pharisees were themselves uncomfortable, for they were keepers of the tradition. They were keepers of the faith. They believed avoiding sinners and other outcasts of society was the only way to live a truly holy life. The Pharisees could not understand why Jesus ate with such people. They thought Jesus had a lot to learn about their traditions. Jesus heard the grumbling and complaining of the Pharisees. In response, he told the parable about a shepherd who had 100 sheep. At the end of the day, the shepherd was counting his sheep when he discovered that one was missing. He had a dilemma. Would any shepherd leave 99 sheep in the wilderness to search for one that was missing? Was the question of the crowd. Common sense would probably lead us to protect the 99 that were accounted for. Maybe that's why St. Paul talks of the foolishness of God. The shepherd leaves the 99 sheep and goes searching for the one that has gone astray. When the shepherd finds the one lost, he calls together his friends and neighbors, asking them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." The Pharisees and scribe came down on the side of museum religion. They wanted attention given to those who were stable and pious and not a liability if invited into the country club. Theirs was a "let's have our synagogue program be for us, the dependable, like-minded types," as some present-day church growth advocates. Jesus eating with sinners suggests that there may be people who are outside the family, who are ready to be a part of the family, or even come back into the family. Jesus disappointed the crowd a lot of times. He disappointed them by insisting that the issue was one of mission, to reach out to those who needed great mercy, who needed lessons of etiquette, social graces, if you will, and perhaps a bath. Paying attention to these lost persons would change the comfortable fellowship of the scribes and Pharisees that they enjoyed in the synagogue, to say nothing of putting a dent in the budget. After all, you're talking about people unable to bring it to the table. Jesus was portraying God in a different light than the Pharisees were accustomed to seeing God. Harry Emerson Fosdick put it this way: beneath this outreaching search of Jesus for the despised and outcast was a profound religious conviction that went beyond customary thinking. God cares for these lost souls. God cares for us. God cared for us that day when faces were covered with clay and dust, and we couldn't distinguish black from white. We all had dust on our faces at the end of the day of not only September the 11th, but all the days that followed as cleanup, that treacherous cleanup, took place at the Pentagon in a lowly field in Pennsylvania and in New York. God cares for lost souls. God values them. God had compassion for them, sought after them. Jesus said, "There will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous who need no repentance. Sometimes I think we get kind of hung up on not needing repentance, because you know we all have fallen short, haven't we? None of us is perfect. So at one point or another, we are the they Jesus is referring to. This went against everything the Pharisees believed. According to William Barclay, the strict Jews did not say there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents, but instead, there will be joy in heaven over one sinner who is obliterated before God. No wonder they were uncomfortable seeing Jesus eat with such people. By eating with people that others turn their backs on, Jesus demonstrated how much God loves all people and how gladly and joyfully he wants to welcome all of us into the kingdom. There are some who have strayed away, but are ready to come back. When they return, we are to welcome them with open arms and rejoice with them. This brings us to the true heart of what mission is. But the church often has a tendency, because it is comfortable, to choose museum over mission. We do faithfully commit our dollars, leadership, and prayer toward keeping things as they are at the local level, and Lord, I know at the denominational traditional levels. Too often it seems easier for the church to choose museum over mission. In that same city I spoke of early on, there was another church with another church that had to make a choice. It didn't have a long history, as did the first congregation, but it was a prestigious church with a fine building and a loyal resident membership. In short, it was strong and prosperous until the neighborhood began to change. Instead of reaching out to the new residents and welcoming them into the church, the congregation and the pastor deliberately chose to keep things as they were. But that couldn't last. And as members passed away and moved away, the strength and life of that congregation dwindled. Today, that congregation is struggling to be in mission, desperately trying to erase the negative image the church projected to the neighborhood in its museum days and years. The issue for any congregation is always museum or mission. The tendency is to choose what seems to be the safe, but sometimes deadly way, that of becoming simply a museum. Mission means concentrating on persons and structures that have not been touched by the gospel. Jesus called them the lost sheep and lost coins in one illustration. And guess what? We are all among the lost. For all have sinned, Romans 3:23 reminds us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Daily we are working, the church and its good news exists primarily for the sake of these lost persons and lost structures. We are not to neglect the needs of those who have already received the gospel. No, no, no. Or take lightly the church as the instrument through which that gospel has made its way into their lives. It is simply that the church's agenda always puts where we are going before where we have been. And who's not here before who is here? Museum or mission? Every local church can decide for mission in terms of reaching out to people in need. One urban church, long and large, family-centered congregation, and known for its preaching ministry, discovered that an increasing number of its immediate residents were single young adults. It was obvious that the programs of that church would not attract these people, so the church decided to shift a segment of its program toward meeting the interests and needs of single young adults. No, they didn't create a dating club. The result is that this congregation is the focal point for mission to single young adults in that whole area of the city. Some of the meals served on special occasions are served by the hands of those the congregation reached out to in their new understanding of call and ministry. There was another church, as I close, another church I came to know in my new city. I came to Fond du Lac in 1993 to serve as pastor of Salem United Methodist Church. Not long after, I was called by members of the congregation that there was a fire just down the block. I stood there with some of your then and now members as the blaze didn't seem to go out there on Mar Street. I saw the weeping. I saw the people hugging, trying to support one another, not just from that congregation, but from the wider community. We were Jewish and Catholic and other Protestant reflections. From the fire, young people, not just from First Presbyterian, young people from other congregations decided they would have a benefit concert. It wasn't about how much money they would raise, but they felt compelled to respond as young people of the community. And so they did. From the fire came a revisioning for expanded childcare aid to the wider community. Suddenly, they were being found beyond the neighborhood. And they were partners in caring for children across the community, even beyond the city limits. There was a gift of a partnership with a program called Back to School. And one of your members would drive that little bus and park it in front of Shopko. You even took away the need for us to complain about how to find sources, places to give. That little yellow bus. Thank you. And now that program not only meets the needs of children we have known through Salvation Army and some of the other areas of need all across places we don't frequent, but the witness of a congregation that decided to live after the fire. The birthing of fair trade in this community. My friends didn't want me to come to First Press and stay too long after the service, especially if the little fair trade shop opened. I would get my coffee and tea from Pilgrim and all my other gifts and goodies and things from First Presbyterian. But it allowed a partnership to not only offer us gifts we couldn't imagine, but you gave birth to a building and a place and a witness and a ministry we all enjoy just down the road. A fresh partnership between sister churches and friends brought about fair trade. Monument or mission? There is joy in finding what is lost. Jesus suggests that there are people, maybe even neighbors or co-workers who have strayed but are ready to be found, ready to be drawn in to the family. Jesus said, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. When Prince Charles ended his first King Charles III ended his first public address the other day, he said he called for the angels to come and sing his mother. Not just to rest, but the new phase in her life. I'm not ready to send the angels to sing to any of you, but I am ready to say, continue the witness of choosing to be in mission and ministry. For God is with us. Amen.
Thank you for joining with us in this time of prayer and devotion. We are First Presbyterian Church of Fond du Lac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving. You can find us on the web at www.fdlpresbyterian.org. We are located at 1225 4th Street, and we have in-person worship at 9 a.m.